Accession number 28773, reel 12.
So that's the infantry battalions from Kunta. We had the ancillary units such as signals, engineers, artillery, service corps, you know, for all the given supplies and the. It had LAD of Levy as it was then. So I think that has been made up the Highland Division, not the artillery, Royal Engineers, Sappers, Signals, and the Service Corps. Yeah.
So there must have been quite a lot of men there, wasn't there?
Oh, yes. It would have, the division would have numbered about maybe, say, 15,000, between 15,000 and 20,000 in a division. Yeah.
And were they all up in the forest region?
Well, no, they would have been scattered over the northeast. You would have had some, maybe just outside Aberdeen. Others would have been up at Inverness, Nairn, Elgin, come inland into Grantown, and that Domitole, in that area, you know. So they would have, yeah, 20,000 in that area, quite a number, really. But when they're spread over the Highlands, and over into right up the Highlands, Dingwall, into Rosshire. So they taken up, you know, they've taken in quite a lot. You could see the land mass, you know, could cope with it. Although there was not a surplus, but a big influx of people in each town, you know, at especially at perhaps the weekend, you know, when you would have had time to, you know, either been a, if you weren't on guard or that, then you could get into town at night or during the day. You had Saturday afternoon and Sunday, usually were rest days. So, that, yeah. So.
And where were you accommodated when you were there?
Well, something you went into billets. Some people like Fochabers were up there. Fort Gordon Castle would have been either accommodated in the grounds, and they had Nissen huts. Mostly by this time, you're getting huts up, Nissen huts. They went up fairly quickly. So that provided a reasonable shelter and warmth during the winter time, you know, rather than being in a tented camp, you know. So, that with what the accommodation. Sometimes there were big houses commandeered or requisitioned, and they could pay a company of troops, you know, which would be 100, 150, some of the big houses. You know, you didn't put them into beds, you could use this, the three boards and a trestle, so you could get, say, a room this size, you could probably put in six people, you know. So that shows you how the accommodation is looked after. You know. Yeah.
Okay. And when once you started in this Highland Division, were you still just working within the Gordons, or
yes,
were the Gordons working with these other, like?
Yes. Well, you normally trained as a battalion, you know, and same when you went in exercise, you're still commanded by your commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel, your own company commander. So you worked within your battalion area. Yeah.
But had you much to do with the other battalions, like the Ardennes?
Not really, no. There was divisional sports once, I think, held, and then your athletes are at in the companies. They would have mixed with the mid have come up against the Black Watch or the Sea Force and that, like a tug of war team and that. But that was, it was just the one divisional games as far as I could remember. No, you had your regimental rivalry if you did happen to meet them off duty or that.
That's what I wondered. Mm-hmm. And how was it in 1941? Do you think that you remember having a threat of war there? Or, you know, how was
it was the threat of invasion was quite vivid. They're quite strong, really. You know, when you got home and leave, which maybe had been once or six, you took all your kit with you and your rifle and a bandolier of 50 rounds of ammunition with you in case of an invasion scare or a real invasion, so that you may not have been able to get back to your unit. So you went to the nearest unit and you were already equipped ready to take part in the anti-invasion fight off, you know.
And whilst you were in leave, what did you do with this? You know, was it in your house or something?
Yes, that's right. They kept it at home. That's the only place you could keep it, you know, at home. And some accidents, but very little, you know, considering, you know, you had 50 rounds of live ammunition, a rifle to use. No, there wasn't a lot of shooting that went on. It was the occasional casualty, you know. But no, it's surprising, isn't it? That,
And you spoke there about equipment as well, how, you know, your equipment was getting updated and that.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Did you still have the same type of rifle? And
yes, we had the same, well, yes, we had the Lee Enfield rifle, that's right, yeah. It was the same one that's when the war started, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which model was that again?
What they called the Lee Enfield. I forget which mark it was, but the Lee Enfield, just L-E-E dash Enfield. I don't know.
And do you think it was quite a good one?
Yes, it was quite a good rifle, yes. Mm. Would serve the British Army a long time, yeah.
And what other type of equipment would you have had with you at that point?
Well, you had your, you know, the equipment, your big pack, what they call a big pack, small pack, water bottle, bayonets covered, and that, gaiters, boots, your two battle dresses, two shirts, you know, so if I get a change, two pairs of boots, yes, that's right, just one bonnet somehow or other, and a great coat, and your own underwear, you provided your own underwear, and that is it. Like at that time, you didn't have any sheets in your bedding or thing, or pillow slips, you just had blankets, and you had no pajamas, or that, so. Unless you provided your own, but no. So that is the equipment we had. And then the other equipment that you look for was you had mortars and anti-tank guns, you know, in some of the battalions, heavy machine guns, like a Vickers medium machine gun, and your own Bren gun, of course, so that we kept clean and workable. 2-inch mortars, rifle.
And the Bren gun, was that a heavy machine gun? Or
yes. Uh-huh. Well, fairly light LMG, light machine gun, a Bren gun was. Mm-hmm. So that was the equipment we had. You know, and then you had Bren carriers, that thing like tanks, you know, with no top on it, you know, just an open top tank. Then you had the lorries. So much lorries within your battalion, and a smaller type of lorry, like what they call the 1500 weight. All the things that is necessary to transport materials rather than men, you know.
The likes of the Bren gun and the Vickers gun, would that have been like transported by lorry or something?
No, they're being carried by men, you know. Bren gun was one, it could carry a complete Bren gun. One man could carry that, and he had a number two who would assist him. But the Vickers was a three-man gun, you know, one to carry the bottle, one carry the tripod, and one carried the ammunition boxes, you know. So that was at least a two-man for the Vickers machine gun.
And would that have not been very heavy?
Yes, it was quite heavy, yes.
And had you ever to carry them?
Yes, again, you just had to carry them. That's someone had to, you took your turn along with the gunners, you know. So, okay. Yeah.
And what about a helmet? Did you get a helmet?
Oh, well? A steel helmet, yes. That's why it had to be worn at all times, you know. You had to get used to wearing a steel helmet. It was quite uncomfortable, the desert campaign, you know, with a rubber band, quite hot, made you sweat a lot. Never mind, that's it.
Was there anything you could do to help it, you know, could you pad it in any way? Or
well,
anything?
There was a skeleton, quite comfortable, you know, to take it, rather than just having the metal right close to your head. No, you had a rubber frame, as you would see, which took absorbed. Like a shock absorber.
Okay. Did you
So if you did get a dunt in the head with a rifle butt or that, then it's the shock absorbed a bit of the force.
And did you have an entrenching tool?
Yes, we had. That's right. Sometimes you got a pick, a real big pick, and a shovel too. But that's an entrenching tool with a combination of a pick and a shovel. Very little, but it did help you to scoop out, to get cover from machine gun fire. That. And given time, you could have made a deeper trench, but eventually just made a scooped out a shallow hole in the ground to get a bit of cover from machine gun fire.
And was that one of the things you practiced whilst you were training?
Yes, you're digging in, that's right, yes. Quite in this country, well, depending on the type of ground you got, it was quite hard work, you know. Other times, it wasn't so bad.
And whilst you were in this period of training as well, was there ever any air raids in the area?
Oh, yes, they had. Not so much. Well, Aberdeen, no, we were away from the area before Aberdeen got any real air raid. Oh, there was the occasional one, but nothing too serious. But we were out of the country by the time Aberdeen got hit. Yes, there was the occasional hit and run one, but not many, you know.
And had you any involvement, against the likes of planes coming across? Were you in any of these anti-aircraft?
Oh, yes. Well, we had the Bren gun could be used as an anti-aircraft weapon, you know. The tripod that they had then could be utilized to make it suitable for anti-aircraft affair.
Mm-hmm. Okay then. So you were doing this with the Highland Division until about the end of 1941, was it?
Yes, that's right. And again, into the beginning of 1942, we carried on with that training. Although I did say we at this time we got an intake of about 100, each battalion entry got an intake of about 120, 130 men, which they had to be trained within the battalion itself. So each battalion more or less set up a cadre, you know, of a sergeant majors, some sergeants, NCOs, to train these young lads who were coming in. Because the training depot couldn't take them all at the same time. And as well, unknown to us, geared up or nominated to go far east, you know, to somewhere like that. Was always sticking there. I don't get the right words out just now, you know, I haven't got into the swing of it.
Don't worry, you're doing fine.
Right on.
It happens to us all.
Does it? Yeah.
And these men that were coming in, were they doing their basic training with you?
Yes, that's right. They did all the complete training with the battalion that they came, yeah. Right up from basic training to a trained soldier, you know. And these ones, I kind of felt sorry. They came in beginning of January. It was a very hard winter up in the north of Scotland that year. And there they were out in the cold water to wash and shave. And again, they came in. I said they got to leave, I think, at the end of March or beginning of April, and then into Germany. And from then on, shipped out to the Middle East. You know, and again, right into action, all within a matter of less than 9 months, you know. And some of them, you know, didn't survive it, unfortunately. So.
And these ones, when they first came in, had you anything to do with them at that point?
No, at that point, I didn't. The only those who were in the training cadre, they were kept separate. They kept them a separate company altogether so that we didn't interrupt them or molest them in any way, you know. Didn't let them any bad habits, shall we say, until they were assigned to a company in the room. But they were kept separate altogether.
And once they did start to filter through, was there a lot of difference between someone who was conscripted and someone who had joined? Or
no, they were very keen, these ones, if they came in. They were very interested in wanted to be good soldiers, you know, they trained, they took our training very serious. Yeah, in general, they were very good. and they were quite keen, you know. And when they were, after their training, and were posted to a company, a rifle company, oh no, they worked very well.
And at this point as well, were you still able to write freely to your mother or anything?
Yes, you could, yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Could you tell her where you were or anything?
Yes, we could, that's right. That's right, there was no restriction. Our letters weren't censored at that time. It's only when we went abroad, their letters were censored. But when you were at home, no, there was no restriction in that line. You could tell them pretty well. And some chaps, some families did come and visit their sons at different times, you know, maybe the weekend if it was suitable. Of course, mobility was limited, you know, buses and that, and no cars were very few. But those who did have means of transport would have come and could have paid them a visit. Not that they did, you know, because some boys used to think, oh no, I'm not having my ma coming up to see me, you know. You know, they're a bit manly like, and I'll see you when I come home, it's like.
And did you get any type of social life, you know, when you were like in the Highlands?
Yes, yes. Well, as I said, if you're near forest, near and that, there's always some dances held on a Friday or a Saturday night, you know, and some blokes are, no, were good dancers or that. I thought they were fancy boys. You know, they went along, yes. But we didn't have shoes or that. We just had our boots and gaiters. Although some blokes were able to take their own shoes with them, you know, so they could do away with the gaiters and put on the shoes. And they did work quite well there. Yeah. Although we didn't think we were a bit clumsy lumbering about with hobnail boots, you know. And the girls didn't seem to mind a lot, you know. It's like,
And at this point as well, had you ever any dealings with the ladies who were in the women's services?
No, not much at that time, no. We didn't seem to have... Initially they did, some of them were attached, no, were in the kitchen, the lattice cooks. But no, not in the an infantry battalion they were kept. You find it in the corps of that... or army headquarters, maybe divisional headquarters, you know, where they could be used as drivers, you know, for staff cars, and a typing pool, you know, for doing, you know, so they were left to mainly headquarters people, as it say. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that round about March 1942, the battalion started to go south.
That's right, yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you in the 1st Battalion?
No, it would have been the 5th, 7th Battalion.
Okay, sorry, I should have... I wasn't sure if it was the 1st.
I see.
So, how did you get south? Was it
By train. You used a troop, what they called a troop train. Well, just a train, but there's all troops in it. So we went down by train. That's
right. Mm-hmm. And was that from Aberdeen to Aldershot, direct?
Yes, well, you would have come on... Like you train from Inverness, you know, they stopped at Elgin, Keith, Huntley, and a smaller town like Turriff, Inverurie, taken right down. So you'd have been picked up at the nearest station to where they were stationed. You know.
And was it just troops that were on it?
Yes, only troops, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Would it have been quite busy?
Yes, they've been quite, and they were quite packed, you know, when you... If you can see all your kit, you know, you had your kit bag with you, so. And the compartments, they weren't always open, maybe a compartment. We were taking 8 people, you know, 8, maybe 10, I forget, but 8 anyway, 4 on each side of it, so, and something on the corridor too.
You mentioned your kit, and I was thinking about your kit earlier when you were describing it as well. Would you have had all your kit with you at that time, or had that already changed it into a tropical one?
No, we'd have had all our kit, just the same one that was used for, in this country, European warfare, that's right. Mm-hmm. That was battle dress and boots and kit. Well, your spare battle dress would have been your kit bag, you know, spare shirt and spare pair of boots and that.
And would you have had your greatcoat with you?
Greatcoat, yes, had it been weather, we'd probably put a greatcoat on, you know, to trouble in it.
But it must have been quite heavy, all this stuff.
Yes, quite heavy, yes. It's right. I don't remember how heavy, but it would have been just bulky and quite heavy too, you know.
Okay, so at that point you still had all your kit?
Yes.
And then did you stay in the Aldershot area for long?
No. Well, let's see. Roughly May, part of April, all the month of May, and then June we embarked, I think, at the...
And was it an army accommodation you stayed
in? Yes, that's right. Usually there were barrack areas, you know, and all the sort that could accommodate us, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you say barracks, was that like a traditional style barrack, or was it Nissen huts again?
No, well, part maybe some Nissen huts, but traditional type of barracks, because all the sort was the home of the British Army at that time, and there were vacant barrack blocks.
Mm-hmm. And that was going to be my next question. Is it a huge area? Is it all kind of military, this place?
It's all military discipline, yes. You've got streets and roads and all the shot, you know. And then, of course, then we get further out, you got Bulford Barracks, you know, which had been a barrack again on its own, but away from the, slightly distant, say, like Maastricht and Northfield, you know, something in that nature. But quite close to the area altogether, you know.
And when you were in Aldershot, how was life there? You know, like, say, the time for relaxation, was it a busier time? Or?
Yes, it was busy. A lot of troops milling around, a lot of military people. Come a weekend, if you had money, you could have go up to London, you know, maybe. But on the other hand, you could just... Aldershot was quite a reasonable sized town, you know, and that Basingstoke and the various places round about there. Some of the smarter guys, you know, who knew worldly wise, knew London. Well, London, a big place, you know, compared to Aldershot and the Rudy. So you're maybe a bit shy about going up there on your own. But again, some boys tried it.
And did you try it?
I think I did, yes, went up once, you know, just to look around the big city again. It's like coming when you're still up and up in the country, you know, down in Aberdeenshire. You come into Aberdeen and there's trams and buses you've never seen before. So again, the same outlook, you know, but again, a lot busier, you know, trains moving around and the underground and that is amazing, you know. So that, yes, but again, it was quite expensive, and your money didn't go too far, and you didn't have a lot of dough to lash around. So you probably stayed nearer the camp, you know.
Okay, and had you any idea during this period that you're about to be shipped out?
Yes, I think we had. We're getting some parts of gear and that you were getting, and maybe a bit of a topic on how to look after yourself in a hot climate. And things like that. So from that you would have visualized, and there's always rumors going around, and someone else, you're off to Timbuktu next week, and that. So, no, there's, yes, you gleaned your summer, you were getting, you know, geared up, an inspection with the king and queen, you know, it led you to think you're going somewhere, you know.
And this inspection with the king and queen, was it a huge inspection, you know, was
yes,
there a lot of men?
A lot of men, yes.
And did you get quite close to the king and queen or anything?
No, not then. Depending where about your battalion had been, you know, but they didn't have time to come round rank by rank, you know. Did it.
And was this on barrack squares or something?
Oh, more or less in a big area. Barrack square wouldn't have been big enough to take them all, you know. So that was like that.
Okay, and you got some leave, did you?
Yes, that was before we went to Aldershot, we got the leave, you know. When we finished our training up in the Highlands and that, when they were quite near home, you know, so that you didn't have a long journey to home and back again, you know.
Okay.
So you know, most believers given when you're up in this in the area, but from Aldershot that no leave at all, you know, and they just shipped off. But that was the last time you saw home was again you had some idea you may be going, but you thought maybe the chance we'll get another leave, but no, it didn't materialise.
Okay. And I should have asked you as well, when you were saying that you were getting new pieces of equipment, you know, in Aldershot, mm-hmm. were you having to hand in your like European equipment or?
Not at that point, no. We just no, I think we held on to most of our European clothing, you know, mm-hmm. because of tropical gear. I don't think we've got all our tropical gear, but we've got some of it, you know. No, we just got this sun helmet, you know, I think a pair of shorts and a tropical shirt, you know. So that is it, yeah.
And did you think that you were going to India at that point? Is that what you thought?
Well, I think a rumour had it. We were never told anything definite. But it was only in the last couple of years I was told, no, my good, that we were this time from India. And as I said, we were sailing up the Indian Ocean. The brook had fallen and we were being chased back right to Alamein. And the word had come swiftly from Churchill, divert the Highland Division from Burma up into Egypt and stop the this advance by Rommel or the Germans in Egypt. And that's the story. And I just heard that, oh, the last 6 years or something, the last 6 years. But before that, I had no idea. I thought we were just, when we landed in Egypt, that's where we wanted to be.
Okay. And when you left Aldershot, was it by train again?
Yes, with train, that's right.
And were you still with the 5th, 7th then?
Yes.
And was there any other battalions or anything
like that? Oh, yes, there had a bit. We moved at different times. Although, we would have different times. So we all reached Glasgow much the same, you know, within the same couple of days, you know. And, of course, well, once you got on the boat, you didn't get off it again, you know. Some blokes, well, especially Glasgow blokes, you know, oh, there's my house, you know, just over there, they see, there looks over. They couldn't get off it to pay a visit. No, no one got off the boat again until, and then once, well, there were a few ships, as you could understand, would have taken brigades would have gone in different ships. And that. So that is it.
And the train going up to Glasgow as well, could you have got off of that at any time? Did it stop?
Yes, but at one point, and they were very touchy, a lot of officers got off the train, the officers, and they had loaded revolvers with them. And if you saw anyone get off the train, but went back, get back in the train, no one getting off. And not so well known, but they had loaded revolvers with them, you know, and meant to be if someone did try to get off the train, that they would, I don't know if they'd been shot or not, but they'd been fired at. Well, senior NCOs also would have helped out the cut. No, there's no, very strict at the.
And would you still had your rifle at that point?
Yes, we still had our rifles with us. And I think we still had ammunition with us at that time, you know. But as soon as we got on board the boat, the rifles were taken off us and put into what they could say the ship's armoury.
And in the 5th, 7th, and in the Gordons, say in general, would it have only been like people from the northeast of Scotland?
No, by this time we were getting people from all over. Well, Gordons always attracted people from the central belt of Scotland, so he had a good, influx of people from the central belt, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and that. And also, quite south of the border, you know, a good influx of Englishmen. You know.
And with these people who weren't, you know, like from the northeast, like yourself, or from Aberdeen, Were they accepted into the battalion okay?
Oh, yes, yes. No, they welded in very nicely, you know, yeah.